Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you when you're young at heart.
Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, Faisal, ongoing, there's tons of research that is taking place all the time. We've got this massive demographic shift that we talk about all the time. There's
That's right.
A huge population of people in the developed world, certainly in Canada and certainly in Calgary, that are, you know, making this transition into the later stage of their life. And, you know, health, the health bucket that we talk about all the time, is a really big determinant in the quality of retirement.
Yeah, and you find that as people age, their concerns about their health and their health care start to increase. And so that we need to kind of educate, inform individuals about the changes that are happening, what they can do from not only a reactive thing, so when something goes wrong, but preventive.
Totally preventive. That's the only way our healthcare system is going to keep up, is if everybody starts doing their thing on a preventative basis, right? Okay, now, we talk about this a lot, and in some cases, it's going to be just as a reminder to people, continue to do this or get out there and start to do it. We've got a terrific guest to walk us through the most recent research and the connection between sort of physical health and the brain. Dr. Louis Brere is a neuropsychologist, University of Montreal Department of Medicine, also a researcher at the Montreal Heart Institute and one of the lead authors of a recent study here. Louis, let's maybe just get sort of a high level here. I'd like you to start with respect to the research that that you've participated in here. Give us an idea of the connection, how important it is, or what that connection is between exercise and the brain.
Okay, so it's been many years now that we know that people who exercise on a regular basis, they tend to have a lower cognitive decline. They also tend to have a lower risk of developing dementia as they grow older. So the two have to be disconnected. You know, they're, of course, if you have cognitive decline, you have a higher risk of having dementia, but dementia is a disease, right? So it's two different things. But the two are maintained or delayed, so to speak, if you exercise on a regular basis. That's one thing we've known for a while. What we still don't know is which type of exercise has the larger benefit on the brain. And it's been, of course, a lot of effort in this field. A lot of researchers are working in the field right now in Canada, but also worldwide. And we're starting to realize now that not only aerobic exercise, but also gross motor training exercise, strength training exercise, also tend to have a benefit on the brain. And more so, we know now that there's a bunch of basic physiological mechanisms that are triggered by all these types of exercise, which leads us to recommend right now a wide array of exercise, not just, you know, walking, brisk walking and improving cardiorespiratory function, but also to improve strength, to improve mobility, to maintain flexibility. All those components of a fitness schedule have to be considered.
So what kind of, for people who don't know about this or haven't been informed yet, what kind of aerobic exercise should they be doing and what kind of strength training should they be doing?
So in terms of aerobic exercise, you know, there's many studies out there that would show that just brisk walking, you know, walking in a moderate intensity level, will many times a week, ideally every day, 10 to 15 minutes a day would do it, but at least 3 to 4 times a week. And strength training could be just, you know, standing up from a chair, doing some pull-up, doing, you know, try to work as much as many muscle in your body that you can. But the idea is that aerobic exercise alone don't do it, you know. We know it has a great impact, but it's a larger impact if you combine aerobic exercise, strength training, and flexibility exercise as well. And in a very recent study, we also showed that only gross motor function, like, you know, coordination exercise, learning to jungle with balls or, you know, parkour and do some, you know, motor control exercises will also boost the physiology of the brain.
It's interesting. I would understand the sort of the aerobic piece and certainly the circulation, blood circulation, oxygen, all of those things for the brain. That makes sense. I was surprised to see that result on brain health for strength training. Again, I understand from a mobility perspective and, you know, mm-hmm. not falling down and hurting yourself. I get from that. So I was interested in that. Was there anything that surprised you in the research? I mean, as you said, this has been going on for a long time, and I'm sure you're discovering new things all the time. But in the research that you've done here, anything that, that you thought, huh, we haven't seen that before, or, you know, we need to follow this up a little bit more?
It was not quite a surprise, but you're right. I mean, that the question is not, I mean, it's not that logical when you think about it, but it's true. The brain requires oxygen and glucose, and if you have a good cardiorespiratory fitness, you know, you nourish the brain in a better way. Mm-hmm. But what we also know is that strength training, when the muscle move and train, it produces all sorts of proteins, and mm-hmm. a sort of protein that you call myokines. Myokines will produce other protein that will call for growth factor in the brain, and endothelial growth factor, and but also neural growth factor, and we know that myokine will stimulate brain-derived neurotrophic factor, for example, which is a protein that is required to boost the development of new neurons and the connectivity between neurons. VEGF, vascular endothelial growth factor, is also thought to be enhanced by those proteins that are produced by your muscle when you train. So there's all sorts of cascades like that that we're starting to uncover that have an impact not only on your muscle and your mobility, but also on your brain down the road.
This may not be a question that's sort of within the context of the research that you've done, but you know, as a physician, somebody studying in this area, do you have any thoughts? Again, it doesn't have to be empirical research, but I'm curious on your thoughts as to this idea of preventative medicine versus reactive medicine. So, you know, if we as a population get more active and start in, you know, doing these things, and like you said, this is not a ton of time. It could be 15, 20 minutes a day. But if we start to incorporate this into our lifestyle as a community, as a country, what impact do you think that has on the healthcare system overall as this baby boom generation moves through the system?
Well, that's a huge question, and I think to answer that question, you need to maybe focus on some conditions specifically. And if we take as an example dementia, or you know, known as Alzheimer's disease, which is just one type of dementia, but dementia, we think right now that 1/3 of cases could be prevented if we change our lifestyle. So 1/3 of cases is huge, and when we talk about life, change in lifestyle, we mean better monitoring blood pressure, avoiding hypertension, doing exercise on a regular basis, nutrition, brain stimulation. You know, cognitive games and cognitive stimulation is also something that we need to take care of. You know, of course, quit smoking and control for all sorts of, you know, psychological factor like avoid depression, manage anxiety, lower stress. You know, all things that just are common sense of you know, lifestyle, a well-being lifestyle, so to speak. And there's a lot of consensus statement right now in the medical society that if we control for this, we're going to prevent 1/3 of the cases of dementia down the road, which is a huge impact.
Well, that's massive for sure. We've quickly come to a conclusion on our time. I want to thank you for your input. It's always interesting to hear sort of how the medical research continues to develop, but I think we certainly all know that we need to be playing a role as an individual in our overall health. Lifestyle decisions make a big impact on that. Louis, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Been joined by Dr. Louis Barrera, who's a neuropsychologist. He's at the University of Montreal Department of Medicine and a researcher at the Montreal Heart Institute, one of the lead authors on a recent study that we've just been talking about. And Faisal, you know, again, maybe nothing new that we're telling people in this, but the message is clear, right? When we talk about the health bucket, and that is one of the things that comes up in our seminars every single month, the biggest concern is about health. Just take a listen to that. 1/3 of dementia, Alzheimer's, may be preventable just by being active.
Yeah, and that's only one disease. Think about all right. The other disease that we have out there, the biggest ones that we have in this country when it comes to cancer and heart failure and so forth.
Right.
Think about all the things that can happen with that. This is no different than our industry ourselves. When we start saying preventive is basically planning in advance.
Right.
And actually executing to a plan.
Executing
into a plan. Right.
Yep.
And so this is the same thing if people are and it's hard sometimes. I get it. Like I sometimes would rather watch the playoffs than go for a walk.
Sure.
But you know, like it's it's just we need to kind of get some sort of incentive program. We need to get some sort of way to get people off their seats and on their feet. And
but I got to tell you, I mean, forget about the broader impact on the healthcare community and system. Just think about lifestyle, right? Think about the quality of your retirement. And this is a no cost item. It's not like you're being asked to spend a ton of money to do something. You just need to get out and walk, and all of a sudden things improve. So you know it's important. You can plan that in your day. Everybody can do it from a cost perspective. These are the kinds of things that maybe we just need to be reminded about regularly.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's remind everybody about the upcoming seminar. We're going to talk about this quality of life that we want to talk about, bulletproofing your retirement. Some of that is health, but it goes even beyond that.
Yeah, and that's on May 14th, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. You need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or go on our website at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Are you enjoying your retirement? Well, stick around because we're going to have a conversation about how Canadians generally feel about retirement. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.